Movies about women in peril have a long history. The theme is almost cliché, but as VOA's Ray Kugel tells us about a short film with a unique take on the old idea.
I had a dream last night. I was kidnapped and sold for spare parts.
You're not that old.
I don't know, Winona. I don't think I should be here.
A young, attractive woman with a suspicion that her life is in danger is the premise of a movie called Burning Hearts. Well, sort of. What happens at the end almost makes you forget about her. Elle is an anxious Ukrainian model working in Tokyo who takes a cab ride with a driver named Katsu, haunted by troubles of his own. He's just delivered a meditative interior monologue questioning himself about training and discipline and waiting for some kind of sign. It doesn't take long for him to find out. Elle fears she's being followed.
Everything good that's gonna happen has already happened. Everything is slowly going to get worse.
Maybe you just need a change, like a new haircut.
I know it. This sounds ridiculous.
And is dropped off at her girlfriend's apartment. She is an Australian model about to take on an assignment in Shanghai and discovered having an affair with Ed, Elle's American boyfriend. Elle finds Ed hiding on the balcony. Elle storms out into the street, is chased down by Ed, who grabs her and apologizes, but is rejected with a smack to the head. Elle breaks free, only to be accosted and roughed up by a group of Japanese yakuza. The taxi driver is still sitting in his car watching, and then takes matters into his own hands. This is when Burning Hearts leaves the soap opera behind and turns into an amazing martial arts action film. Katsu is a one-man wrecking crew fighting the Yakuza, but not at all the kind moviegoers are used to seeing with dizzying camera and sound tricks. There's none of that. This more than five-minute sequence is completely different and one you will not forget. Australian-born James McFay wrote and directed Burning Hearts and makes the most out of the 14-and-a-half-minute film. I spoke with McFay about how the astonishing fight scene was done and the story set up regarding how typical it is for foreign models to work in Tokyo and other parts of Asia.
It's very common. I mean, it's been happening for a long time, since the 80s and 90s. It's not as lucrative as it used to be, but, you know, they're everywhere. They're in China. They're in Thailand, they're in Taiwan. A lot of my research and then later on feedback came from models who'd been in places like Japan in the 90s and had done, you know, one commercial and then put down a deposit on a house. And it's obviously changed very, very much. I was there as a model in 2006. And I think like a lot of other models there, we were just living on the poverty line, you know. We were never going to get rich when you're there. It wasn't a pretty life.
Is the film saying something more about the loneliness of foreign models working in Japan and elsewhere in Asia?
I don't think they really have a special loneliness. I think if you're young and you're by yourself and you're put in a foreign country, it's a universal feeling. A lot of the models, specifically who go to Asia, are often very, very young. And if they don't speak the language, it's very isolating. And Elle, the main character, is representative of that. But it's theoretical. She represents Europe. Her friend represents Australia, because he's Australian, Winona. And then the boyfriend represents America. And then, of course, Katsu, the taxi driver, represents Japan. And for me, as an Australian, we were in a very privileged position to choose between whether we would either side with the U.S. or side with China. And as you can see in the film, Winona decides to go to China and abandon her boyfriend, America, and abandon her friend, Europe. And obviously Europe is just doesn't know what it's going to do and is sliding down a slippery slope, and Japan is somewhere on the fringes but has a very latent power.
The highlight of the film was the long fight scene between the cab driver and the gang of Yakuza. Was it done in one take?
Yeah, it's done in one take, but I think we did four takes, and some of the takes had better moments. The take we used was a fourth, and obviously in the first take he was much more, he wasn't as exhausted as he is in this one, but I think this one was probably technically the best.
How was the fight scene choreographed so well?
It was choreographed by Hirokatsu Kaito, who's a good friend of mine who I met, he has a stunt team called BOS, and we choreographed it, well, he choreographed it, really, in his studio a few days before, and on the day we kind of refined it. He's just an incredible talent. There were some things that I wanted to put in there that he wasn't sure about, like I wanted the bats and stuff, which is very video game, and the final kick that Katsu does to destroy the final boss.
Is there a greater message to Burning Hearts than just the rescue of a woman in distress?
It was a love letter to Japan and all my Japanese friends, especially the stuntmen, who are so humble and hardworking and just the most incredible people to have on a film set. In a way, it's very arrogant for me to say, you know, to Japan, you have so many more strengths than you give yourself credit for, but it's kind of what I'm saying.
McFay gets a tremendous performance out of Hidetaka Ichiyama as the heroic cab driver who is himself trained in karate, taekwondo, and gymnastics. Ichiyama is like a hungry lion who's escaped capture and won't be caught. Burning Hearts starts as a slow burn and then finds a cinematically unexpected way to reach its climax. You won't be disappointed. I'm Ray Kugel.
And if you would like to go see the movie, well, you don't really have to go anywhere. All you need is your own personal computer and access to the internet. And you can use your favorite search engine. Just type in Beaufort Asia. That's Beaufort spelled B-E-A-U-F-O-R-T.